Greeting is gripped man, and gripped him and shaken and jolted him. So he's jolted with pre-thinking. And he thinks that progress, he thinks that intelligence, he thinks that no, that's the right way, I must be free. Not realizing, sometimes he's, like I spoke about it yesterday and morning as well, you commit a sin, and then the second level is you don't count and you don't consider the sin to be a sin. That makes it even worse. The cow will say that that's no, you are bridging with disbelief, you're fencing, bordering with disbelief. You're doing the wrong, but you don't count the wrong as wrong. The least a Muslim could have done is consider that wrong as wrong. And see, it's looking at a movie, it's wrong. Looking at a girl, it's wrong. And listening to music, it's wrong. And now, if we build up that attitude, what's wrong in it? What's wrong? And who are you to come and tell me? No. That is a dangerous thing. Dangerous thing. The least you could have done if someone shouted you, could have felt ashamed, I'm doing something wrong. Especially bring it to my attention. But to be defiant, quite dangerous, very dangerous. That's why Mullah Ali Qari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he explains ghibat, right? And gives a different, he elucidates and gives the details of ghibat, right? Say one is through gestures. Someone is speaking good about this person, right? So I smirk, oh, and I'm an error. So the message is passed. You didn't say anything, but the message is you don't know him, I know him. What baggage he's got, I know about it. Now you did it in a gesture. You didn't do it in clear terms. And then when you did it in a gesture, you didn't consider that to be a wrong. Then, says one type of rebirth is the rebirth that is done through writing. Because what is done verbal, it is said, it has disappeared into thin air, right? And what is in writing, the thing is stored. So as long as it's stored and people will read the thing, you're in trouble. Here, there's also a problem. I spoke about it, stored in your memory, right? It's also a problem. But here it's written, it makes it even worse. That's the third type. The fourth type is, the type of rebirth where a so-called pious person makes. So, for example, you're talking good about some person. So you would say, you know, make dua, Allah forgive all of us. You know. Make dua, Allah forgive all of us. So you didn't make the ghibat, but the tone that you used, you conveyed something. Make dua, Allah forgive all of us. The fourth type of ghibat. The fifth type of ghibat says, that he says, no, that's a dangerous one. Someone tells you, why you're making ghibat, stop that. So he says, it's not a ghibat, it's a fact. And to give a factual report of your brother behind his back, that's called ghibat, a factual report. And if it is not a true report, then that is an accusation. A factual report is called ghibat. Now when he said no, it's not ghibat. So now that's very dangerous because the Quran says La Tahtabu. La Yaqtab Ba'dukum Ba'dukum. So it's a Quranic command. And you are denying it. I'm making ghibat. The Quran Sharif is saying, layıktı bağdukum bağda. So it's an explicit clear command of the Quran Sharif, and you are defying it. No, I'm not going to give it. And you're involving them. Can you imagine how serious it becomes? So Mullah Al-Qarib, he says that this is the most serious time. Because this can risk your iman. Now, this is now the halat is going on presently. People are not prepared to count and consider the wrong to be wrong. The wrong is gone so deep within the system, it's penetrated the recess, permeated the whole hearts and minds. Right? So they're no longer in that state of mind to count the wrong as wrong. You know, someone was talking of robbery. You know? So he says, you know it happens. Perhaps he's in that thin line, so he explains to you. He says, initially you do it, then you feel somewhat awkward. You try and appease yourself, you try and justify the wrong that you're doing. But with time, then you begin to justify, you become brave. What's wrong with it? Because you start off a little bit of a shameful note, or I'm doing what's right. Then, when you carry on, you persist, then you become brazen, you become complacent. In fact, you begin to justify the wrong. So now that's very dangerous. That you're doing a wrong, and you don't count the wrong to be wrong. You're doing a haram, but you don't count the wrong to be wrong. Right? For example, the person is eating pork. So what's wrong with it? It's food after all, so what's wrong? Drinking wine. Right? So he doesn't count the wrong to be wrong. He's dealing in interest. So it's a profit, it's a return on my wealth. It's a return on my wealth. What's wrong with it? See, so this when it comes to that level, is very dangerous. Extremely dangerous. The return on my wealth. Some people have, the iman is very good. Some youngster was telling me. He doesn't eat prawns, right? So they make some pizza, perhaps, with prawns, so he abstained. So someone asked him why. You know, I'm not clear about it, so I leave it out. So that person said, all right, show me from the Quran Sharif, show me from Bukhari Sharif. Prove it. Now there was an elderly woman there. Some of these elderly women, the iman is very good. So she must have been simple, but her iman was too good. She says, well, I don't talk like this. You may just lose your iman. What's his meaning? That you talk in this line, right? And then when you talk in this line, and you want to reason everything, and there may be some reason, but you cannot recognize, you cannot relate to that reason. When you cannot recognize and relate, you will reject it. When you reject the thing, then you're gone. Right. See how it starts off. There may be some reasoning, what she's saying, but there may be some reasoning, but the reasoning is above your understanding. Now you get into it. I'm a student of the Quran, so that is one is you are claiming, I'm so intelligent that I can see the Quran. I can see the proof myself. Nobody is coming to explain that to me. That means there's no need for an alim. I have the understanding, so show me direct from the Quran Sharif. So it's a claim, right? And the second fallacy on this is that when you're going to be going on in this matter, right, there may be a level of understanding, but that's beyond your understanding. And beyond your understanding, you want it to be in line of your understanding for you to accept it. It's beyond your understanding, how you're going to get it, right? So you see this, so anything and everything, there is someone to justify. You talk about celebrating festivals, right? There is someone to justify that as well. Because you are told لا تتولوا قوما غضب الله عليهم, don't befriend them. لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء, my enemy, your enemy, don't take them as friends. ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم, you will befriend them then you will be of them. لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء, specifically Christians and Jews, don't take them as your friends. You want to take them, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, you'll be counted from amongst them. Now, so what's wrong with them? So now they're using their own reasoning, see, come off in the Quran Sharif. So after all, eating the food is right, marrying them is right, so what's wrong in them? Their own reasoning. So all these things need maturity and need understanding. But Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, and perhaps Musa Sharif, they were settled in Sham and they got married to Christian women, right? Now Sham, and the complexion is more or less like white. People that are living from that end, they would have like white features, right? Green eyes or blue eyes. So it was a Roman territory at some time. You know, you hear about the hadith of Hercules, Herakl. He traveled from Sham, he traveled to Sham. Beit Muqaddas is part of Sham. So there was Christian Markas, it was a Christian domain, center. So now, Umar radiallahu anhu heard about this, said, divorce them, separate them. So they asked, Umar radiallahu anhu, is this haram? So Umar radiallahu anhu said, black him, before you leave my letter, you see, make sure that you divorce them. And he gave the reason, that you are in that part of the world, right? You're getting married to this type of girls. They have got four problems. Four problems they have got. One is, they don't have the level of modesty that Muslim women have. No shame and modesty. They mix freely, dressing is not modest. They don't have the level of modesty that Muslim women ought to have. They don't have that. Number two, they move in the streets, etc., openly. They're not homely woman. A Muslim woman, she's homely, she's not moving around. For them to move around, mix, meet, all that, that's part of the culture, right? Number two. Number three, these women are white, more attractive, green eyes, blue eyes. And when you're going to marry, others will also be attracted, right? A youngster normally will go mainly for the looks, after that for everything else. Right? Mainly for the looks he gets married, and after that he sees other things, etc. But the main thing that he looks at is the looks, right? Now these women don't have the shame, they don't have the bashfulness, right? And they are more appealing to the normal person. Now what's going to happen? He says, if you don't do, you know, go this way here, kafabihi fitnatan linisa'i muslimin. Now, Muslim woman will be left out if they're getting married to these girls. What's going to happen to your Muslim girls? They also got feelings, they also got emotions. They'll be left out, they'll go to that, which they got some attraction. So, won't this be a fitna then? So, those that heard Umar radiallahu anhu, they were saved. So now, all these things require time, sight and understanding. See, that's why they say, listen to your elders. It requires time for the mysteries to unravel. Now there are ulama that are going to these areas, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, and all these places they're going, right? So they came once here. So I asked them from one end of South America to the other end, approximately how many Arab Muslims migrated, what period, mainly what period, and approximately what's the population, in mainly about 50 years. Mainly. Some may have come a little bit later, some a little after, but most came just around 50 years. Alright. Then I asked him, alright, what's the approximate population from one end of South Africa, South America, other, what is the approximate Arab Muslim population? Originally, what the original Muslims, say for 50 million. 50 years and 50 million, right? Then I asked him, alright, how many from those Arab Muslims, how many are Muslims now? In name they may be Muslims, right? But now, as we stand, how many are Muslims? Say about 4 or 5 million. See? Alright. So the 4 or 5 million that are so-called practicing, how many are genuinely practicing? So maybe not even 500,000. Not even 500,000. So 50 million, then I asked him, alright, then what brought about this collapse? So let me explain. You see, they went as bachelors, right? Most of them went as bachelors. Some went married as well, right? Now, the culture there is quite free. There's nothing to hold them together, nothing to tie them. Culture is free, right? Number one. They don't have a maktab system like we have it here. Because the style in the Arab countries was that the state will do everything for you. Till now, you can't have a private madrasa in any of these Arab countries. The state is to be state controlled. It will be part of the syllabus of the secular education. Going to school, so Islam will be the sort of thing. So you got it now, you don't have to learn Islam. So it was like that, right? So the state was controlling the education. You understand the background they came from. Now they come into this type of a alien foreign culture. They say, no, we don't have to open madrasa, etc. That's the state's work. So in just one generation it shouldn't get lost. No madrasa, right? Then youngsters coming up, they're seeing the free culture. Right, free mixing, remixing with those women. And before they know it, they are fathers and the girlfriends are mothers already, before they know it. It just took one generation, and so I asked them, you know, from one end of the South America to the next end, what's the population? 50 million. How many are still Muslims? From the 50 million, 4 or 5 million. And how many are practicing properly? Not even 500,000. So, it may be an outdated word, recently akabir, remain tied, just remain bottled up. So, there were textual proof, there is textual proof against what Umar Khan said, right? Umar Khan said, no, don't get married soon. Before you leave this letter of mine, you better see that you divorce someone. Now, they could have debated the whole thing, that there is textual proof that this is permissible, and you're saying, no, just divorce them. Now, you see, now it takes time for this whole experiment to come through, it takes time. Now, you can imagine all those Arabs that moved across, so many millions moved, right? And now what's left of them? Tilka baqaya, that's left. So this we're talking about taqwa and the three different levels, right? And the first level, I said, just to see that you don't do anything that's anti-iman. And in my understanding, in this day and time, this is about the most important thing. I don't want to say anything more important than that, just to see that your iman is safe. Whether you know deen or you don't know deen, but just to see that you are keeping to the standards of iman, requirements of iman. Wa Abdul Hamid Sahib, Ramad Barakatun, is speaking out against girls going to school, etc. Right? high school, secondary and tertiary, etc. Now everybody claims that I learned it, I know. I read this kitab, I read that book, all that. And we see in this culture, and we see the results of this culture. We see the culture, and we see the results of the culture. You'll be surprised if I tell you, people that come here, they cry, right? Our daughters were, these are approximate words, fairer than fair, prettier than pretty, right? But we had a little bit of an open, free relationship, you know, a little bit of Christian things also, and the festive season, and you mix up, and they go to halls and malls and shopping and all this, you know, they open, and they went through. But they're coming from a very religious, if you look at the roots, very religious. Man that I'm talking about his roots, I know the roots very well. Very, very strong taluk with great people, very great people. But now they came into this education, the teacher had to say, you know, it's such a treasure of human resources, and you're just pushing into the house. What's going to happen to this? So they fell for that. When they fell for that, yeah, take them out a bit. You stay in the house and get mad. Take them out, free culture. Right? Now they're bringing very good results. So from secondary to tertiary, with the online, outline, whatever you want. So this man is complaining about his own grandchildren. He said, now, they're fairer than fair, prettier than pretty. But both got married to non-Muslim, Indian side non-Muslim, that are blacker than night. That's his words. Indian Muslim, but Indian non-Muslim side. You see what happened to them? This free thinking. The right thing, right thing was about this Buzurg, this great person says something, right? We can't understand the philosophy, the wisdom straight, we can't understand it. But let's go with him. But Umar Radiallahu said something, right? And someone can present textual proof that this, what you're saying, has got no basis, right? They can bring it. But there's some reason behind this thing here. He's understood the Quran. He knows the pulse. He's acquired the flavor of Iman, ذَاقَ تَعْمَ Iman, which you don't have. You haven't come to grips with it. Now you're going to go experiment that thing. Experiment it, now see what happened there. So when they experiment this thing, just see what happens. Now you see the man has got a name, Arab name, Muslim name. Then they come and explain to you, the Jamaat had come back. When you go for West, they bring out the lineage, right? And the lineage is, you know, too great. Not great, it's too great. But then they got a cross there, everything's happening in the house. They got a cross in the house. So you see this type of free thinking temperament, right? But he's saying something, this person, I can challenge Mullah on this thing here, what he knows. No, he's a Buzurg, right? We understand. This is words, he's a Buzurg, we understand that. No, this only I can challenge, I can take him on. So people that are scratching the surface, they haven't seen the world, they don't have experience, no understanding. And suddenly they read some kitabs here and there, take the person on. Now you would experiment what has already been experimented, it's already tried out already. Just travel a bit, fasiru fil ardh, go and see. See the Qabristan, what names, you know, what names they have, and then see the crosses of that. See the homes, what's going on. So now, when Umar radiallahu anhu stopped them, so he had sight, he had vision, he had understanding. I can see, I'll do this, and where this thing will end up. Into. You start off like this, and where it will end up, now you see with your own eyes, you see it. So anything that may risk your iman, small thing, big thing, you will see some risk your iman. That's why Abdul Hamid Sahib, Rahmatullah, is saying this now, right? The Sri Kulindra Hamada has already seen it already. He's already seen it. And he says, if this is going to be the result of this secular education, and this is going to be the result, his actual words, to phir hamare bachche ka anpar rehna behtar hai, jahil rehna behtar hai. But you want to risk them into this, they may risk the iman, and they may risk the iman. What have you got? Alright, you say, no, you're eating a full loaf. Not eating half loaf, but you're eating a full loaf. The most you can say, I'm eating a full loaf. Can you say anything more than that? In other words, you're saying that the standard of living is very good, house, car, holiday, this, that. But I say, is that anything to be boastful about when the iman is on the edge? Is it any? This is phir hamare bachche ka, Musliman ke bachche ka jahil rehna ye behtar hai. Take that half a loaf or quarter loaf and save your iman, then going for these things here and risk the iman. See, that's why I say, in this age, one is the areas, those areas that can cause you to slip, right? One is the books that you may read that can cause your mind to be perverted, right? And the style, the way it's presented, is not for the average person to be looking through the lines. I know we're in the 70s, we're in India, right? And Maududi's books, the approach and the presentation was so dynamic. I saw good ulama getting carried away. Muhammad Ilyas, Allah fill the grace with Noor. He said, the Musliman, okay, it's a bara, azmaish, it's a big trial. He said, it's like this, it's like sewage that's covered up most, So the outer layer looks so beautiful, so attractive, but you just push your hand inside, see what comes out. So Allah gave them that vision, gave them this sight. We don't have that. See that, that doctor, his vision is such that he just puts his hand and makes you already got a heart problem. Can't he do that? Hey, you're playing around. Don't kid around. Where's the hand? Where's the heart? Koi nisbat hi nahi. Koi jor ki baat nahi. Just trust his experience. He knows something that you don't know. You understand he's got experience. Just trust him. And this will take, it will unravel in time. Now you want to experiment with your child, with your wife, with your daughters, with your children, and then when the whole iman is rocked up, then you want to try and save yourself. It's too late sometimes. But most of the time it's too late. You can't do anything about it. But they feel like they're free. You can't tell us anything. How many people have gone to Australia and they're regretting why they moved, why they made such a move? America, Australia. Many people are regretting. One of the things I know myself personally, they want to come back. Now, the education is compulsory. The girl has to go to school, right? She must go. Whether you like it or not. When the girl is 16, 17, 18, she's got a choice. That she can choose the partner of her choice, she can choose the religion of her choice. Any coercion from you, any influence from you, is a criminal offense. Not just coercion, even a pushing, just a little push. She can report it. The moment she reports it, it's a criminal offense. You can't even do that. Now, the child is 16, 17, he's still not mature. Mentally is not mature. Now you went there, you thought it's better pastures, yeah? So you went for the better pastures, alright? No problem. But now, did you see that, is it imani friendly or not? That place that you went to, is it imani friendly? Nobody says you can't go. But you need to see and ensure, is that imani friendly? Or you have the courage and determination to save these people, when they in the abyss of disbelief, kufr, shirk, etc. You will not go and pull them out then. They may just report you to the police. So you're in prison, sitting in prison. 2 years, 3 years. Just for this. There was one student here. They don't release the names, right? But he said, make dua for my uncle. So what happened? Very, very wealthy America is living in. So, now, the law is so one-sided, right? Everything looks very rosy. But the law is so one-sided. He said, his wife gave him one shot. So he gave him a shot, much lighter, about half the size of what she gave him, right? Half the strength of what she gave him. She went and reported. So make dua now. He's sitting in prison 5 years. 5 years. For right now, it's an old story. Now he's really sad. But what I'm telling you, okay, see what happens after that. And then he's wealthy. If you're not divorced, 80-90% of all that wealth goes to the wife. 60%, 70%, all your hard working, etc. Just one shot. You return the shot and see what happens. So you need to make sure that wherever you're going to, nobody's stopping you from doing, but is that imani friendly? The iman, your children's iman, will that be preserved? Will that be right or not? You know, in this COVID and all that, people are so afraid of traveling, right? So afraid of that place, the virus is very, very active. Don't go there. Right. Even if you're vaccinated, don't go to that place there. Why? It's very active there. So for a physical problem, you have taken so much of precaution, and an imani problem, do you exercise that type of problem? Physical thing, take all the precautions, all that, right? Nobody's saying don't take the precautions. We're not stopping, right? But for an imani thing, are you conscious? Do you think what you're doing? Do you understand what's happening? So I'm showing you now what's happening. See, this the risk that is coming, the attack that is coming on iman. I'm going to celebrate this thing here, celebrate that thing. And we're getting good orators to come and speak like this. Now the normal person is in mind confused or confusion. Okay? On the one side you're saying, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَا وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ مِنْهُمْ لَا تَتَّخِذُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَا Right? مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ And on the other hand, you see, now go and celebrate with them. You don't have to drink the wine, but celebrate, just give them some compliments, etc. What's wrong with it? You see this free thinking. Well, that person is becoming a Christian, he's losing his faith. This person that's giving this type of bayan, is he going to go and risk help him out? Has he got that strength to go and help him out? So understand that the test now in this era that I'm looking at, the test is on your iman. So whatever is required to guard your iman, right? Like I said, even if you eat quarter or half loaf is better than going for the first full loaf. Going for that full loaf and risking this main thing, basic thing you are risking. Allah Prabhupada.